Levi, there you go. A little slow there. This next song is Breathe on Me, Breath of God. As we sing it, it's an old hymn. As we sing it, what is it talking about? What is this breath? This breathe on me. Well, let's see. Let's sing it. You may be saying we're going to do things a little different this morning. What do you think that breathe on me breath of God is? Anybody know? Holy Spirit? Today you'll find out. It'll be in our scripture or in our sermon. Now, this week has been an interesting week. Got hit right off the start with a new study coming out. Church attendance even getting smaller. And it's like, oh, come on. It's like the statistics keep getting worse for the United States. And it's like I'm shaking my head as a pastor. What do you got to do to get the American people back in church? Well, we know what. They need to be evangelized. IIF, it is finished ministry, is the only way we're going to get people back in church, but statistically this morning, 92% of Americans are not going to be in church. So, now, then I heard a pastor talking about all the events that happened with Iran and Israel and the U.S. This, I heard a pastor talking and he was asked, what do the church needs to do right now with the riots and the moral decay and everything that's happening all around us? And he went into this whole thing about the church has got to stand for the truth. I agree. The church has got to kind of push back on culture and speak the truth. And he was the LGBT, the trans, the immigration, the globalization, the prophetic things that are happening, the things that are happening in the Middle East, the political things. He was going off. And I agree with everything he had to say, but I was waiting for him to say the most important. And he never did. He never mentioned we got to get the gospel to people. So in understanding that, what we're going to talk about today is directly, sharing the gospel is directly related to what we're going to talk about today. Because then unfortunately, another sad statistic today is 95% of those in the church will never share the gospel. 95% will never share the gospel with anybody else. So today's sermon really is going to apply to that, the reason for that or lack of. Also, today, this sermon applies only to those who are born again. Now, you may not be born again, and what I talk about, it's open to you. But what I'm going to talk about today is only for the born again. Now, we've been looking at the purpose of our relationship. Next slide, Levi. Purpose of the relationship is to bring glory to God. And you need to ask yourself, what in your daily life brings glory to God? Or what does your, that week, what glory did you bring to God? Literal glory. Not obedience, not praise or worship. What brought him, his name, glory out of your life? Then the path of the relationship, which is Jesus Christ, to follow him, to learn from him. And then the fruit of the Spirit, that our relationship with God, your personal relationship with God, is designed, if you do the relationship correctly, it is designed to produce fruit. That fruit is other believers. Maybe your family, maybe your friends, people out in the world, but your personal relationship will produce, is supposed to produce fruit of other people coming to Christ. Now, today we're going to look at the personal aspects of the relationship. And this is the most important. From this, the first three come. You can't do the first three without this one. And the last four, you can't do without this one. So that's why I kind of put it in the middle. From this, everything is either right or it's not. It's incorrect. This is where it's true faith versus Christian religion. All based on this personal aspect. So I handed you a handout this morning. I'm talking like Mark now. A shade shelter. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, man. All right. Your one-on-one personal relationship with God is not defined by church attendance or churchy events. It is not determined by worship concerts or worship experiences. Neither is it your ministry works or service to the Lord. Your personal relationship with God is not found in anything outside of yourself. Instead, it is established within you as a communion of your heart, soul, and mind with God. A relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which entails knowing the heart of God. This allows the believer to experience the love, joy, peace, healing, comfort, and hope found only in God. It is multifaceted. This personal and private relationship is designed to change you forever, which in turn shines bright for all the world to see. Your personal relationship with God will make you a light in this dark world, allowing you to be a testimony of the one who created you. Your personal relationship will project you into a community of believers and a public public ministry that will allow you to accomplish the good in which God has preordained you to walk. Your personal relationship with God should make you a new creation in Him. It should transform you and make you a masterpiece of God's hands, a workmanship of His. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand." If you have the old King James, I think it says preordained that we should walk in them. Now, the rest of it is also there for you to read, not this point. But I wanted to show you the personal aspect of what we're going to be talking about today. So here's what you need to know to have this personal relationship, this intimate relationship just between you and God. I'm going to share some things that you have to accept and you have to believe. So here we go. First, you need to accept God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You must accept this. I've known so many people who are hindered in their relationship because they just can't seem to forgive themselves for what they've done or the mistakes they've made. Or, you know, when you're in Christ and you repent, the word purified is right there. Cleanse all from all unrighteousness. It gives the understanding of purification. God sees you as pure. He's forgiven your sins. So let them go. Do not let your past continue to hinder you or define you. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled, restored friendly relation in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, set apart, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. We know who we used to be. We know what we've done. Maybe we still mess up and do some things that we thought we never would. When we repent, when we're seeking this relationship, the world may see you a certain way. Old family friends may see you a certain way. Your old self might get thrown up in your face, or you may fail and it gets thrown in your face by the enemy. I'm telling you, if you are in Christ, God continues to see you the way He says right here. He looks on you in Christ as beyond reproach, above reproach. Psalms 103. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. You know, I found a globe yesterday in one of the storage rooms. I should have brought that in here. Far as the east is from the west. If you look at a globe of the earth, if you travel north, you get to the North Pole eventually, and then you what? You start traveling south. So north and south meet. But if you're on the globe and you start traveling east around the world, you never meet west. The only way to meet west is to stop, do a 180, and start going the opposite direction. So that's why He says east is from the west. Your sins are forgiven you. They're gone. You must accept this complete forgiveness that you are new, blameless, above reproach, purified in Christ. This is who you are. In God's eyes, this is who you are. And why does He do it? Because He loves us. So you have to believe in God's love for you. And this is where a lot of people, we've all done it. Things start getting hard and we wonder, does God even love us? Does God even care? How many times have we all questioned God's love? More than I would like to admit. But you got to get to a certain point where you just believe it. You accept it. And nothing's going to shatter that belief, that foundation that you're standing upon, which is His love for you. 1 Corinthians 13 lays out God's love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Now today we hear love is love, right? You hear that all the time. Love is love. And this is a distorted humanistic love that accepts all sin, all bad things, and everyone just does what they want to do and it's good in their own eyes. True love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love is love. That doesn't even make sense when someone says to you, love it. Hey, love is just love. What does that mean? You need to ask them that. You can't use the word to define the word. Basically, what they're saying is, if you really love me, you'll approve of whatever I want to do. Parents, How many of you love your children so much that whatever they wanted to do growing up, you just let them? Any parents like that? No. Parents love their kids. They know their kids come up with some things that aren't good for them to do. And we put rules on them and confine them to certain activities. And because we love them, we're just not going to approve of everything they want to do. We love them too much to do that. Love requires boundaries to protect. And God's love wants to protect us. And that's why God's love does not rejoice in iniquity. It bears all things. It means, it gives the idea of bearing the weight against that's coming against you. God wants to bear what's coming against you to protect you. Believes all things. God believes that everyone, including you, including me, is worthy to be loved. Not worthy in of ourselves, but worthy as His creation to be loved by His Creator. Believes all things. Simply believes in loving us, unconditional. The loved one does not need to perform anything or achieve a certain goal in order to be loved. What I lay out in this relationship today is not for you to receive God's love. You have it. If you're in Christ, you're born again, you have this love. Hopes all things. God's love is our basis for our hope. Endures all things. God's love is consistent, never wavering. Love never fails. He will never, ever stop loving you. Romans 8, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 4:16, as we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. The first two things in this relationship, you have to accept he's completely forgiven you. And you have to accept that he loves you. You have to believe he loves you and he'll never stop. But in that love, because it's pure, perfect love, he doesn't rejoice in iniquity. He does want to correct us. And as his, if we're disobedient, he will chasten us. But there's nothing you can do that'll make God go, I'm not loving you anymore. So many relationships today, 50% of marriages, people fall out of love. Love in the world is terrible. It's uncertain. It's not solid. It's wishy-washy. It fails. Sometimes parents, families split and today, there are so many broken families and so much mistrust and so many broken relationships and missing family members. And love can be, for a lot of people, is just maybe they've never experienced real love. Here's your opportunity. God will not fail you. Others have failed you. He will not fail you. So the relationship is based on these two principles. Your complete forgiveness, and his perfect love for you. Now let's continue. Because of this, in this personal relationship, you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time with the one who loves you so much and has forgiven you for all. Spend time with God in the Word. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right? Jesus was known as the Word before he was Jesus, the incarnate God-man. He was part of the Trinity. He is God. He is there from the beginning. He was known as the Word. Then the Word became flesh. Jesus is the full representation of God. He is the one that has spoken clearly what God has told him to speak, the Father. When you spend time in this Word, you are spending time with God. He is going to speak to you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, when you open this, Not opening it to read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. Oh, a good Christian reads his Bible. Oh, a good Christian maybe reads the Bible once a year. I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading your Bible once a year all the way through. That'd be great. But when you sit down to read your Bible, don't do it as you're checking a list. Okay, today I got to read my Bible. Check. No, you open it up with two understandings. One, you're sitting down and communing with God. And second is sanctification, which we'll talk about in a second. But you sit down with the purpose of spending time with God. If it's something you have to do, you might as well close it. It's not going to do you any good. This is where the personal aspect comes in. And we have to get away from the religious part that tries to masquerade as a relationship with God. Sit down to spend time with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit. He is the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally in the Greek, the inspiration of God means God breathed. Now we sing a song, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." The breath of God is the Word of God. When you spend time with God, He will be breathing into your life because it's the Word. The Word is literally God breathed. This Word, this breath of God will give you new life each day. It'll get you focused. It'll start to change you. We're going to get to that in a second. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful. Yes, it's God-breathed, but this book is alive. The words, even these hard genealogies, or you're in the book of what? Numbers. It's not about necessarily reading, I have to know these genealogies. There's a reason they're in there and all that, but again, this is the God-breathed Word. And it's alive, and it'll change. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, these words will renew your mind. They'll restore the soul. They'll bring healing and comfort. It's God breathing into you, your spirit. It'll strengthen you. It'll encourage you. It's living and powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know if something you're thinking is right or wrong? Well, the Word will tell you. It'll help you see the world correctly. Navigate this world. John 17:17. Spending time with God in the Word. Jesus said this about the Word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. This Word right here, it's alive, it's God-breathed, and with the Holy Spirit of God of a born-again believer, when they spend time in it, it will bring and produce sanctification, which is the next thing. You must embrace sanctification when you sit down to read the Word. You're sitting down to read the Word with purpose. One, to spend time with the One who created you. The One who loves you and has forgiven you. And you're going to spend time because He said to know Him, to understand Him and His ways. So you sit down, God, I want to spend time with you. I'm going to find time in my busy day for the One who gave me the day. Right? But it's also, Lord, I want this Word to change me. I want to be changed by what I learn. I want to grow. I want to be equipped. I want to become a disciple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this is the will of God. This is for every born-again believer, your sanctification. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit that we have, that we're sealed with, will take the word of God when you're spending time with God, and it will sanctify you, meaning it's going to start transforming you from the inside out to think like Christ, to think like God, to know His ways, to adapt our sinful old worldly ways to His ways. It's a transformation of the believer. We've been saved, we're born again, we're forgiven, we're loved by God, but now we have to learn to follow Him and be like He would have us to be. Sanctification is the process of the Holy Spirit using the Word that's alive to transform us. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. Why? For obedience. God calls us to walk His ways, to pick up our cross and follow Him. Spending time with God in the Word will sanctify us. And we'll learn to be obedient to the one who created us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Old things that pass away, behold, all things become new. Do you see your relationship, your personal relationship with God is not to turn you religious. It is to turn you into a disciple. It is to turn you into a faithful follower of Jesus Christ who represents Him, who shows Him. Because you've been transformed by the Holy Spirit through the Word, the sanctification process. The old that you used to have is gone. You start letting it go. The Holy Spirit says, let this thing go. Let this go. Let this go. And we let our past go. And we become this new creation in Christ. We embrace the new the Spirit wants to create in us. Because we want to love God. And that's what obeying God is all about. How do we know we love God? Well, Jesus said this, John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We love God by obeying God. It's so easy to say, I love God. I love Jesus. I used to say it all the time before I was even born again. I've heard lots of people over the years say, I love God, but then I see a life that's not in obedience. The belief of unbelief. A lot of people say, I believe in God, and they'll say, I love Jesus, and I love God. And they'll even talk about the relationship with God, but there's no obedience in the life, and it's and I know this well because it was me for so many years. And my relationship with God was just a fraud. I talked about it. I didn't have one. I had a religious one. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the very first thing, God's will for us is sanctification. So we can be obedient. To love God is to obey God. How can we obey God, though? The Word will sanctify us. The Word will transform us. But again, we have to learn to what the Bible describes as walk in the Spirit or be filled with the Spirit. So John 14, I want to introduce you. Jesus is introducing the disciples to the coming Helper. The Spirit, the one they were to walk in. This is something you're going to have to learn, and we learn as well. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, he said. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 24, that same chapter. He who does not love me does not keep my words. So another, going back, if you love me, you'll obey me. Those that don't love me, they're not going to really care about this. They're not going to obey this. It says all these things. It teaches us what we should be like as believers. And we have to say, God, help me to fulfill this. You know, as a new believer coming out of the Marine Corps, being a Marine, my language was quite colorful. And it never bothered me, even though I claimed to be a believer. And I was as bad as you can. This mouth was as bad as you've ever heard. The worst thing is I blaspheme the name of God all the time. But as a believer, I was convicted by it. But sin can be so natural to us. It's so ingrained in us because maybe we've been, from that I've been cussing for, I started cussing for, to show off in the fourth grade. I did it at the bus stop away from mom and dad. But that's, you were cool if you cussed. I used words I didn't even know what they were at fourth grade. But I heard the older kids using them, so I used them. So it was so ingrained in me. But the Word of God says, don't let any corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. And it's foul language, it's gossiping, it's all sorts of things. And I asked God, I said, God, as a new believer at 28 years old, 29, I said, God, it's so fluid in me. Take these words from me. And God gave me a moment of pause. He, through the Spirit, He gave me the ability to have a pause before the thought came out of the mouth. And I could catch those words. And God removed the cussing, gave me control over it, you know? And I wanted to obey His word because now I truly loved Him because now I got it. I didn't get it before. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Here's where the small inner voice comes. God will speak to you plainly through the word. But throughout the day, and as you grow as a disciple, there can be time you have this voice inside. And it's usually pointing you to something you've read or bringing back a passage because God speaks through His word. But the Holy Spirit is in you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. It's a quiet, still voice, always taking you back to the truth. And you got to learn as a disciple to tune into that voice. And always check whatever voice. You might hear other voices. There's other voices out in the world. But you always bounce the voices off the word of God. But the Holy Spirit will start to guide you. You'll start to have a conscience where maybe you didn't have one before. This is the intimacy of having the Spirit of God in you. You're sealed. John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but rather He hears... Whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. God will speak to you. It's through the Word. It's alive. If you come to it, you have to come to it as a born-again believer with the Spirit of God. And you have to come to it with a purpose of I'm going to spend time with God. And I want these words to change me. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You see, this is being controlled by the Spirit. Controlling your mouth, controlling your eyes, controlling your hands, controlling the mind and the heart. We're walking in His Spirit according to the Word of God and His strength. The flesh is there. Oh, the flesh can be tempted. The flesh may want to war against the Spirit. The old self is always there wanting you to go back or to this side or this side. And God says, no, stay focused on me. Walk this way. and the Holy Spirit. If you seek Him, you can walk with Him, and He'll help you. And you'll walk in such a way that will bring honor and glory to God. And it'll save you from a lot of grief. I tell you, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. It is so easy for us to flip or slide back into the flesh. And we want someone harms us or does us wrong. We want payback, or we are prideful and we want to prove ourselves right. Maybe even if we were wrong, and the flesh wants us to act contrary to who Christ is. But if you walk in the Spirit, if you seek the Spirit, if you seek sanctification, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I tell you Galatians 5? Did you get ahead of me? Okay. That's right. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. God's pleased with you. He knows you love Him because you're obeying Him. Galatians 5, verse 22. Now this is where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. The whole sanctification process, the personal aspect. This is not the fruit we are commanded to produce in John chapter 15. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. But when a life is finally surrendered and you are seeking the Spirit, you are seeking sanctification, you are seeking to spend time with God because the relationship is serious to you. It's real. It's not churchy. It's not religion. It's intimate and personal. Then the Holy Spirit has free reign, and He can produce, even in the hardest of hearts, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, such there is no law. There's not. If you walk in these, you're fulfilling the law by the nature of the Holy Spirit. Because the law is summed up in two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor. If you can truly learn to walk in the Spirit, you can produce, a lot of the Holy Spirit will be able to produce the fruit in you the majority of the time. Maybe even all the time. There have been a few cases of human beings outside of Jesus Christ that people say, man, they are just so much like Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is just pouring out of them all the time. Now, here's the one thing about walking in the Spirit in this whole process. Is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking to be put away with you. With all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If we, as believers, and I've done this, and you've done this, maybe you didn't realize you did this, we fall into sin as believers, or we lose our patience, or David, a man after God's own heart, for a whole year stumbled into sin. It's possible for all believers. All of us are going to still fail God. We're still going to sin. The sin nature is still in us. The flesh is still. Temptations are everywhere. But if you sin and you remain there, you don't repent, then you start what says grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your connection to God the Father, who is Spirit. He's your helper, He's your guide, He's your teacher, He's your strength, He's your comforter. Now He's grieving because you've slid into sin and you're not turning from it as a believer. Or you slip into self-righteous religion. You stray from the path of sanctification. The Holy Spirit's grieved. The Holy Spirit can no longer work in you. Definitely not produce His fruit in you. Let these things go. The Holy Spirit will say, listen, you're a child of God. This is not of you anymore. Let this go. You're a child of God. You shouldn't have spoke to that person this way. Go and make it right. Whatever the Spirit will guide you, if we say no, we dig our heels in. God says He was given the Spirit to us as power to be His witnesses. We'll talk about that next week. But you say, no, I'm going to dig my heels in. I'm not going to witness out in public. I'm not. And the Spirit's testifying you to do that. You're going to grieve the Spirit. In the sanctification process where He is transforming you through the living Word, He's going to call you to do things, to let things go, to embrace new things, and to go where He wants you to go, to speak what He wants you to speak. You have to be willing to obey. You don't want to grieve the Spirit. So here in this personal aspect, next slide, Levi. We're done. Come on up, team. Accept God's forgiveness. Past, present, and even future sins are covered in the blood of Christ. Now, does that mean we can just sin? God forbid, Paul says. That's not the heart of a believer. We don't want to sin anymore. Just understand your sins are covered in Christ. Believe in God's love for you. It will never fail. Has your best interest at heart. It really does. Wants to protect you. God is love. But He will still judge and He still will correct, chasten those He loves. So don't take it. No believer would want to take the advantage of God's love, but some people do. Spend time with God in the Word. It is alive, powerful. God speaks. This is the intimacy. This is the personal aspect of your relationship with God. Embrace the sanctification of the Spirit through the Word. Let Him to transform you. Embrace the new He wants to put in you. Let go of the old. Love God by obeying Him. Lip service is easy. We've all had people say, I love you or I care about you, and then they stab you in the back. Right? Lip service is easy. If you say you love God and you love Jesus, but you don't do this process, the will of God, sanctification, then you're not being honest about really loving Him. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. True love obeys. Walk in the Spirit. Learn to feel the guide of the Spirit, the guidance, the encouragement, the strength. The inner voice that will recall to you the truth, no matter what situation you're in. Let Him guide you. Learn to allow the Holy Spirit to control you by taking every thought captive to Christ, giving you the pause on what you say before you say it. Learn to let Him control you. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with Him and not with the flesh. On these sheets that I gave you, on the back of the first page, I want you to know, because a lot of people struggle with this. I've realized this over my time in ministry. I've even, in the beginning, struggled with many things like this. God has over 175 names, titles, figures of speech to refer to us. None of them are sinners. Do you realize that? God never calls believers sinners again. Why? Because that's not their identity. Their identity is found in Christ. They're forgiven. Do we still sin? Yes. But again, God sees you now in Christ always. Now, he doesn't give him blinders if we start doing bad things. He sees it and he'll chasten us. But we are his children. That's our identity. We used to be sinners and we were ready for judgment. But God saved us. He redeemed us. He restored us. He reconciled us. Now we are children of God. We are who he says we are. And then I've known a lot of people, and I know people today that have a hard time accepting that God fully loves them. They look at themselves and they don't think they're... It hurts. It breaks my heart to counsel people and to know people who haven't maybe been loved, or they've been beat down by this life or other people, and they just can't accept that God loves them. It's so heartbreaking. I want you to read those words. This is just some of them. This is how God sees you. And I want this personal relationship to be so real for you. This is how God sees you. And that, yes, you can have a relationship with him. And so I ask you guys to stand up with me. Please stand up. And I want to sing a song about this accepting what God says. Even if you don't feel it, even if you've been told other things, this song is just a beautiful song for those who might struggle with accepting what God says about you as his child. So let's sing.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just a sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
When I can't
going to fail walking with him. The grace is there. The forgiveness is there. There'll be days you can run with him and dance with him. You'll have your highs and you'll have your lows. Walking with God, our personal relationship with God, is so much better than church. It's so much better than religion. It's something that'll change you forever. And you'll taste of what God is like. We're not home yet. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't settle for something, a counterfeit relationship. Embrace sanctification. Embrace the Word. It's alive, it's powerful. The Holy Spirit in you will bring it to life, will bring you to life. God will breathe into you each day. And the purpose of your life, of your relationship, your existence, but definitely the relationship, is to bring glory to God. The path is laid out before us to take together. But you have to personally seek Jesus Christ. You have to seek the Word. You have to seek sanctification personally. The fruit of your relationship is people. Your personal aspects of the relationship is everything. Without it, nothing else will happen between you and God. Accept how he sees you. And walk in your new position as a child of God. You're a child, you used to be a child of Satan. How many of you are proud about that? Every one of us was a child of Satan, a child of disobedience, a child of this world. And we were enemies of God. But when we were enemies, he reconciled us. And now we're children of God, of the Most High. We have to walk in that. Live it. Embrace it, because it's more valuable than anything in this world. It's more valuable. I got one more song, and let's sing that.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. We have asked. Has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died. Yeah.
Amen. All right. There's a test you need to do to yourself. How strong is your relationship, your personal relationship with God? If it's strong, the Spirit is in you producing His fruit. Your life is a joy. No matter if it's bad and things are hard, you still have a joy, a calmness, a gladness in the heart because you have Christ. And you can deal with whatever's happening because He's going to strengthen you. Is the fruit of the Spirit being produced? You can't produce it. People fake it. They try to. They're always, hey, I'm happy in the Lord. And then when they're away from everybody, they're in darkness. It's real. It's not just something we read. It's something that's real. If your life is not, if you're not filled with that fruit of the Spirit, the relationship is strained. It's struggling. Sin, not seeking God, not taking His path, you need to analyze. But the Spirit wants to produce the fruit, but you can't grieve the Spirit. Get away from church. Get away from, not church as in, don't come to church. We have that's a problem already. But get away from being churchy. Church is you'll see church completely different next week if your personal relationship with God is strong. Church takes on a whole new meaning. Get away from religion. Seek the relationship. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for all of us. I pray for all of us to seek You with a full heart. That's what Your scripture says, for us to love You with everything we have. Lord, for us to seek You. That's what You want. You want us to know You, to understand You. You opened up a relationship. You reconciled us back. Lord, I pray that everyone in here has been truly reconciled and not been falsely converted. Because if they're falsely converted, it means they haven't been converted. They haven't been reconciled. But Lord, I pray that You open the eyes to anyone here who may not be a true believer. But for the rest that are, Lord, I pray. I pray for us that we will seek the relationship. It's better than anything else in this world. Let us see that. And let this be the foundation of our lives. Our personal relationship with You. Everything else is after that. So let us seek You this week. Please move on our hearts this week, Lord. Let us go out of here to be salt and light. We pray this in Your name. Amen. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.